Many years ago, when I was first really becoming accustomed to the New Testament, studying it on a regular basis, whether that be in a Bible class or my own personal study, one of the things that I tended to observe out of the letters, that is Romans through Hebrews, it was of their corrective nature. It would seem that I would read through those particular letters, and the Apostle Paul and the Hebrews writer were always pointing out mistakes and errors and problems and correct this and correct that. And in some ways, I thought it to be kind of negative. And I don't know, I guess I just didn't really get out of it what I should have. But upon further study, I found that there's a lot of positive stuff in those letters. Yes, there's just corrective things that Paul wanted to address, and the problems in the churches of Galatia were a little different than the problems at Corinth, which were a little different than the problems elsewhere. But there's a lot of positive, excellent encouragement that we can find in the letters. And today my lesson comes from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I want to preach through that text as a way of encouragement, as a way of looking to this, to keep on keeping on, because as I read through this particular section of Scripture, that's the message that I get. The Thessalonians are just wonderful people. When you read 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians, you don't find a lot of doctrinal error. You don't find anything just real glaring, at least I don't, that just jumps out at me to say, wow, these people really had a problem with this, or they had a problem with that. But rather, I see within at least these letters to the Thessalonians some very wonderful encouragement to keep on keeping on, especially here in the second letter in chapter 1, because we read in verse 4 that these brethren were suffering persecution and affliction. In some ways, I'm just hesitant to even preach on that, because when I think about the persecution and affliction that they endured in the New Testament times in the first century, we don't know any of that. You know, I mean, we can talk about being persecuted, and maybe at work you are, and I'm not trying to belittle that. You may have a tougher road to go than what I know of, but I'm still persuaded that even with the persecution and affliction that we have to endure from time to time, it is nothing in comparison to what our first century brethren had to go through. So in the midst of life, if you feel persecuted and you feel like that you're being afflicted, this message is definitely for you. And truly, if you don't feel that way, it'll come. A time will happen when you're going to have to butt horns with Satan and those that are following him in their way. And so again, this is a lesson by way of encouragement to take a look at some of these things that Paul writes about in this particular chapter and use them that we might praise God anyway. If you're following along in your Sunday talk there on page 3 of the outline, you'll see that I have entitled this particular lesson, Praise, a Promise, and a Prayer. And that's exactly what Paul had for the Thessalonian brethren. He had praise for them, as we're going to see in detail in just a moment. He gave them a wonderful promise that they can just hang on to in the midst of trial, in the midst of persecution. And then he closes out what we know to be the chapter anyway, or the thought, with a prayer in their behalf. And so that will be our lesson today. If you're filling in the blanks there in the outline, we invite your attention now to verses 1 to 4. I want to read 2 Thessalonians verses 1 to 4 and then go back and make a few comments about them. Paul and Silvanus and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one you toward one another grows even greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure. I don't know about you, but when I look at that particular introduction to this letter, I see an apostle that's just busting his buttons at these folk. You know, he is just so proud of the Thessalonians. They are in the midst of persecution and affliction. We don't know exactly what that is, but we just know it's there. But he says, we just thank God for you, and there's many blessings to be had. There's things that are going on amidst these persecution and afflictions that just makes Paul and the other apostles so proud of these brethren in this locale. Well, what were they doing that was so great? What can we be doing that and Paul was encouraged, and we ought to be encouraged as we look at this text. We'll go again there to verse 3, and he says there again, we ought to always give thanks to God for you, brethren, which is only fitting because your faith is greatly enlarged. Point number one is their faith was growing. Their faith was growing. And believe it or not, if you want to put out there in the margin or just after that, if you got a little space, even in the midst of persecution and trial, how many times is it that we get down and we get discouraged and yes, maybe we're enduring some persecution at work or by family or wherever it might be, and all of a sudden we just kind of stop in our tracks. And here, these brethren didn't do that. They must have read the letter of James where they talk about, you know, have great joy in the midst of trial and suffering, knowing that such produces perseverance and character and hope doesn't disappoint, all those kinds of things. These brethren in the midst of persecution had a growing faith. Their faith was getting deeper. It was getting stronger. It was producing an even greater resolve into doing what was right. Let me challenge you and let me challenge myself in this. The next time that the devil rears his ugly head and there's temptation there or there's affliction there or persecution, to say, wow, thank you, Lord. I've got an opportunity now for my faith to grow stronger. I've got an opportunity to lean on you a little bit more than what I have in the past. I've got an opportunity to go back to the Word of God and to find the promises and things therein that will help me to be stronger in the future than I have in the past. I think that's what the Thessalonians were doing. They were looking at these afflictions and problems, and sure, they didn't want it. They didn't look for them. They weren't out seeking persecution. But they had the right attitude about it, that their faith was going to grow anyway. And they realized that God had not abandoned them. God still loved them, and truly they were going to turn this negative into a very big positive. I wish I knew who said it. I've just got the quote here in my notes. I'd have to do a little research, I guess, in my office and my library to find it. But I like this particular thought, and one author said, a faith that cannot be tested cannot be trusted. I think that's so true. When our faith goes through a test, then we realize how deep or how shallow it is. If we never have our faith tested, we don't know whether we can trust it. We don't know where we need to grow, where we need to mature, where is it that we need to change. And yet when that testing comes and when that trial is there, then we find out, you know, I'm just not as tough as I thought I was. Or I can handle this. You know, again, a faith that cannot be tested is one that can't be trusted. Can you trust your faith? I hope so. I hope the challenge goes out to the next time you run into a problem or a difficulty, you look at it with a positive viewpoint to say, I've got an opportunity to grow. I've got an opportunity to be strong here and to make the right choices and to do the right things, even to those who would persecute me and despitefully use me. Well, he goes on there in verse 3 and he says, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows even greater. Point number 2, as we see here, is their love was abounding. Their love was abounding. Yeah. Christians suffer. We all suffer in various ways. We have physical problems. We have mental, emotional problems. We have problems from without, problems from within. May have problems with family. My heart goes out to all of you if you're suffering those problems. None of us are immune from that. Neither were the Thessalonians. They had those very same problems, but notice their reaction. What a tremendous reaction. That is great encouragement to us, that rather in just doing our own thing or leaving the church or saying, I got to work this out on my own, it was their love one for another grew stronger. They realized their dependence upon God and their fellow brethren to hang in there. I guarantee you, when problems come and you run away from your fellow brothers and sisters, all you've done is make your burdens worse. You've made life more difficult in trying to hang in there and be strong. When those problems come, you need the church all the more, and you need that encouragement that can come from the brethren. And yes, they may not know, and you may need to tell somebody. say, you know what, I'm really hurting with this, or this has happened in my life, and it's just extremely discouraging, and I'm suffering because of that. It's okay to confess that one to another so you can get the help that you need. These brethren, in the face of persecution and affliction, were growing in their love one for another. They realized what they had. So many times the devil wants us to look out there within the world and think that's where life is. And say, well, you're just missing out if you're not enjoying this, that, and something else. And he tempts us with sin, saying this is where life is. But I see the Thessalonian brethren doing just the opposite. When all these problems came upon them and they were being tested in their faith, they realized how good they had it in the church. They realized how good it was to have brethren of like precious faith. And they were going to grow in their love for them. Let me challenge you and challenge me that when problems come along and we get discouraged and things don't seem to go our way, that's when we need to truly get close to one another and find the strength we need to hang in there with that. Don't try to do it on yourself. If you do, Satan will whittle you to a splinter. You'll be putty in his hands. But we need to react as these brethren reacted and letting their faith grow and letting their love grow one for another. And then they're going to be able to a whole lot better have a handle on those persecutions and those afflictions. Well, we go to verse 4 here. And it says, therefore we ourselves, and I think Paul means the apostles here. He's talking about the 12. He says, we ourselves, and maybe he means just Paul, Silas, and Timothy that he opened the letter with there in verse 1. Could be that too. He says, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance. And that brings up point number 3. Their patience was increasing. Their patience was increasing. Paul didn't see a church ready to give up. He didn't see a church ready just to close their doors and say, well, this is too much. Can't take it. Sorry. Nice try. We gave it a good old college try. It didn't work. He didn't see any of that at all. He saw brethren who was going to increase in their patience, which brings back that wonderful point that God never wastes our suffering. Think about that. You know, we go back into the Old Testament, we read some fabulous stories of some wonderful people, men and women of faith, and a lot of them had problems. Almost every one of them did. None of them had that rose bed life, you know, where it just all went their way. And when we sit there and sometimes don't make the application into us, that truly, when the going gets rough, God never wastes that suffering. He says, now is your chance to grow. Now is your chance to love. Now is your chance to learn to wait on me. You think Joseph got discouraged sitting in prison? I do. Now, the text doesn't say he did, but I just think he's human. And I think he sat there in prison and he interpreted those dreams of the cupbearer and the butler, you know, and he told the butler, now, don't forget me, you know. And sure enough, that butler did. Now, I don't know about you, but it is my opinion. I think he got discouraged because he sat there in prison another 2 years. But you know what? His patience was growing. He learned patience with that. That God was still going to work it out. And we sit on this side of that story and watch that story and say, yeah, God worked it out. Okay. Something not going right in your life? Something just kind of nasty right now? I'm sorry. I really am. I wish it wasn't true. Didn't wish you had that persecution, that problem. Grow in your patience. Let God work it out on His timetable, because, you see, we're not on God's timetable. We're on His. You know? Really. It's a wonderful time when things aren't going well to work on your patience and say, Lord, I maybe don't understand what's going on right here, but I know you're going to work through it. And I don't have all the answers to this, but I know that you do, so I'm just going to wait on you, and I'm going to keep doing what I need to be doing and letting my faith grow and loving the brethren and letting patience have its work. See, that's the great encouragement of this letter. That's the great encouragement of these brethren, because Paul's just busting his buttons over there. He says, I don't see people get ready to quit. I don't see them fussing and fighting and griping and complaining and all that. I see people growing in their patience, growing in their perseverance, saying, we're going to hang in there. It ain't going to discourage us. We're not going to quit. We're going to let God work through this in His own time. Yeah. Well, he goes on then, the latter part of verse 4, and he says, he thanks the churches of God for their perseverance and faith in the midst of all their persecutions and afflictions which they endure. Their faith was helping others. Point number 4. Their faith was helping others. Yeah, it was helping Paul. It was helping Silas and Timothy. And if the ourselves there in the latter part of verse 4 is the apostles, it was helping the apostles. He says, we're telling all the churches of how well you're doing. I don't really think that was in the game plan of the brethren in Thessalonica. They're sitting here under persecution. They're sitting here under affliction. And we're helping somebody else. I mean, I'm hurting over here. I'm discouraged over here. I just don't think we're getting anywhere over here. And my life's helping the brethren elsewhere. That's exactly what Paul said. What a great testimony it is that when we endure affliction and trial and problem, we don't know who's watching. We don't know who's affected by that. And truly to see people go through that valley of persecution and suffering and trial and come out victorious on the other side can do your brothers and sisters an unbelievable world of good. Oh yeah, did Paul good? Did these other brethren good? He said, Thessalonica, you're not losers. You're not down and out. You're everything. That truly your faith and your endurance and your perseverance and your hanging in there and loving the brethren has been an example to everyone of what it is to be a Christian. If you're going through that trial and that problem right now, again, my heart goes out to you. I feel for you. I wish it wasn't true, but you know, there's a lot of good to come out of this. And good for you and good for everyone. Look at the 10, the promise. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. It's a great promise. And the promise is, as I've said before, and quoting Dr. James Cale, the trouble is worth it. I just love that line. Never forget it. The trouble is worth it. Look at the great promise now that God has for them because of their increasing love and faith and patience and growth. All right? Verse 5 of 2 Thessalonians 1. Paul says, this is a plain indication. This is obvious of God's righteous judgment so that you may be considered worthy of the kingdom of God. Did you grasp that? They're worthy. But they're suffering persecution. That may make a difference. God says you're worthy. Oh, we've got this great affliction. We've got these problems and I'm not doing so well. You're worthy. You're worthy. Worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you. You know, somebody's going to afflict you. They're not going to get by with it. I mean, they're not going to persecute you and just say, no repercussions here. God, don't work that way. Here's the promise. God says, you suffer from persecution, you suffer from affliction, hang in there, keep growing, do the right thing, because God will repay with affliction those that afflict you. Verse 7, and to give relief to you who are afflicted and to us as well, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in a flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. God in his wisdom might wait on dealing out retribution till the end of time, but the promise is he's going to do it. He will not allow his people to suffer unjustly and not vindicate them. These brethren are suffering unjustly. They're suffering because of their adherence to the kingdom of God. That's what he brought out there in verse 6. And whether that retribution and whether that affliction of God comes out now or later is immaterial, it's going to come. And the reward will be for the faithful as well as there will be a different reward for the unfaithful. Verse 9, the unfaithful will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his power when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you was believed. Jesus is coming in all of his glory someday, and he's going to reward the righteous and punish the wicked. That's a promise you can take to the bank every day, your spiritual bank. And so hang in there with the afflictions and the problems. Hang in there with the trials and the troubles. Don't give up. Do exactly what those Thessalonians were doing. It will work out. God will cause it to work out one way or another. The reward will be the overthrow of the wicked, and to repay those who have been afflicted with comfort and with rest. And so finally then in verse 11, he goes on and he says a prayer in their behalf. And it's a prayer of blessing. It's a prayer again of thanksgiving for these brethren and the great job that they were doing in living the Christian life. He says in verse 11, "To this end also we pray for you always, that our God may count you worthy of your calling." How is it that we are to be worthy of our calling? Might it have something to do with growing in faith, growing in love, growing in perseverance, and blessing others? Yeah, I think so. He says, "I want you to pray that you'll remain worthy of that wonderful calling and fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith with power. Keep working, keep laboring, knowing that your labor is never in vain in the Lord." 1 Corinthians 15:58. Verse 12, "In order that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified." Yeah, that's who really gets the glory here. As much as we appreciate the Thessalonians, it's Jesus who looks so good. Jesus and his life and his death has spawned these people so well that they're making him look good by their life of faithfulness, their life of honor, and a life of glory. "Glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ." Bless them in their worthiness. Bless them in their daily walk. Bless them in their testimony to others. That's Paul's great prayer. And why not? These brethren are doing so well in the midst of problems and trial. But he says, "Lord, bless them anyway. Bless them in that walk. Bless them in their worthiness. Bless them in their testimony." There's good reason to have courage. There's good reason to hang in there. There's good reason not to give up. I don't know where you are at spiritually today, whether as a non-Christian you need to become a Christian, then the invitation's for you. But are you out there this morning ready to give up? Are you out there thinking that the afflictions and trials and problems of living the Christian life are just too great? Then I implore you and I beg you, do not give up. There is a way out, and that way is through Jesus, looking at the wonderful example of the Thessalonians this morning. Maybe you need the prayers of one another. Maybe you need that bonding that we talked about earlier and the love of the brethren and finding that strength from one another to hang in there amidst your trial and persecution. Then we invite you to come and make that known. Do you need to give your life to Jesus? Do so now while we stand and while we sing.